God. Well, again, as advertised, as we've been talking about, we are going to be into part two of God's plan for you to prosper. In fact, why don't you say that? Say, God wants me to prosper. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and this is in the New Living Translation, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Amen. Praise God. So these are our foundational scriptures for this, what I think is just going to be a two-part series here, and this is part two. But I want to do a little bit of review. I know quite a few of you were not here last Sunday, and I would encourage you, as Royal said, to go get the CD. We have those available, and or go online to our podcast page, which is cnlc.podbean.com. You can access that through the e-bulletin as well, and you can listen to it that way online if you listen that way. And go back and hear the whole thing. But I want to do a little bit of review today. So, you know, one reason I have it on my heart to share this is because we are living in a time of economic uncertainty in the world. We see inflation taking hold. We see, you know, gas prices have essentially have doubled in the past 15 months. You know, they were kind of fluctuating, at least right around here in this area, between like $2.80 and sometimes they'd bump above $3. All of a sudden, they jumped up, and they're about $3.19 or a little bit more, depending on where you're buying gas. And so that's had an impact on all of us. And grocery prices are higher. You know, that $4 pound of ground beef is now about $6, and so grocery prices are up. Stock market is undergoing what some people call a correction, perhaps. And so maybe your 401k is now looking more like a 201k. But God has a plan to take care of his people. Amen? And he's got a plan to see his people prosper and increase. We're not bound to this world system. The promises of God that we read, and anyone that you'll find, do not have asterisk on them with fine print at the bottom of the page. And that says null and void in the case of an economic downturn. Or null and void in case the wrong people get into power in Washington. Or null and void in case this... there's no null and void of the promises. There's no asterisk. God said what he meant and meant what he said. And his word is true for us today. Amen? Amen? And that's the good news. Praise God. So God has provided prosperity for us in redemption. That's what I was talking about in communion today. It's a cup of blessing. Jesus raises us to what he is. We don't bring Christ down to what we are, but he raises us to what he is. Amen? And he's provided prosperity for us in redemption. Let's look back at 2 Corinthians 8, 9 again, the verse we started with. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Praise God. That's part having prosperity, having our needs met. That's part of our redemption in Christ. Now, again, the word rich, let me define that for you. The word rich means a full supply. Doesn't necessarily mean, when you think of rich, you might think of millionaire or billionaire, but rich means a full supply. Jesus became poor that you and I might have a full supply. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, and we know he did it in the same vein and in the same way, he became sin that we might be made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that. "With his stripes we are healed, and he became poor that we might be made rich." Amen. He did it in redemption. He provided prosperity for us in redemption. Amen? Amen? And then 2 Corinthians 9, 8 that we read earlier in the New Living. Let's look at it again. "And God will generously provide all you need." Then you will, how often?
Always.
have what?
Everything.
You need, and how much?
Plenty.
I love that. Always, everything, and plenty. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. That's God's word. That's God's promise. He says he'll generously provide all that you need. You'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, is this verse here, again, I don't see any asterisks there. Do you? You know, I don't see any asterisks in that the fine print at the bottom, you know, this is only written to a select few. You don't qualify. No. Is it just as true as John 3:16?
Yes.
It is, isn't it? Amen. So he's provided prosperity for us in redemption. He's promised to generously provide all that we need so that we'll always have everything we need and so that we'll have plenty left over to share with others. But to walk in this fully, and as I said last week, I want to walk in it fully. You know, the Lord told Dad Hagin one time, he said, yeah, I bless my children as far as I can. He said, because I love them. And so if we walk in his plan just a little bit, then, well, he'll bless us a little bit. But to have the fullness of his blessing in our lives, we have to walk in his plan fully.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what we're talking about in this series, God's plan for you to prosper. And we talked about a couple of points last week. I'll just review them quickly. Point number one in walking in his plan is being a tither. Being a tither. Praise God. See, that you know, tithing is an act. Tithing is the act of taking 10% of our increase, our income or our increase, and bringing it to God, bringing it to his house or the storehouse in Malachi, which we believe in today as the local church in the New Testament. And so that's the act of doing it. But you becoming a tither means that that act has become a habit with you.
Amen.
You know, someone could say, use drugs one time, but then if that becomes a habit, then we say that person is an addict, right?
Yep.
Well, on the positive side, you know, you may tithe one time, but you're not a tither till it becomes a habit. It becomes a so God's plan to prosper you includes and is dependent upon you developing the habit of being a tither. I developed that habit as a young man in my late teens, 17, 18 years old, when we weren't really taught much tithing that I remember. Maybe it was me that didn't pay attention, but one pastor that came to our church, started talking about tithing, and I started hearing about that, and I thought, well, I need to start doing that, and I started that, and I became a tither. As a teenager, and I've tithed ever since. It's not been hit or miss or sporadic. It's something that I've made a habit in my life. And we see an example of a young man in the Bible that did that very thing as well. We talked about him last week. I just want to touch on him today, and that's Jacob. Jacob was leaving home. He had to leave home. He was running for his life. And as he left home, he has an encounter with God, and he makes a commitment to God. In Genesis 28, verse 20, we'll read this. It says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That very day, Jacob made a commitment, made a vow and a commitment before God. And he said, of all that you give me, from now until the day I die, of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That's a tithe. The tithe means tenth. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I tithe, but I tithe 5%. Well, that's not tithing. I don't know what we'd call that, but that's not tithing if you're doing fine. The tithe is 10%. Amen. All right. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. We talked about that in detail last week. That's why you need to hear the message from last week. So he made a commitment that he would surely give a tenth back to God. And so that's the tithe. We also looked at scripture in Proverbs that talks about the first fruits of our increase. So the tithe is the first 10% of our increase. And you know, a lot of times folks would say, well, you know, if I have anything left over, then I'll tithe. Well, I promise you, the devil will make sure that you don't have anything left over. Because above all people and beings, the devil does not want the work of God funded.
Amen.
Amen. He's trying to stop the work of God. So if he knows that he can thwart or hinder the work of God by keeping you from tithing, well, he's going to do it. And he's going to make sure that you don't have enough left over. But if you do it first, if you take the first 10%, then that's where you step in to the blessing. Amen? Because that verse in Proverbs said, if you'll do that, if you'll honor the Lord, your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Amen? All right. So Jacob, let's look back at Jacob. So we covered him in detail last week, but long story short here, 20 years later, 20 years after he makes this commitment, of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you, Jacob returns home. And on the way back home, he says this to the Lord in Genesis 32 and verse 10. He said, I'm not worthy of all the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you've shown to your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff 20 years before when he left home and crossed over the Jordan and went east. All he had was a clothes on his back and a staff in his hand. I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. And now, 20 years later, I've become two companies. Hallelujah. Why? Because 20 years before he said, of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. Amen. It pays to be a tither. Hallelujah. Amen. Second point we talked about was this. Follow God's leading and don't yield to fear. Follow God's leading and don't yield to fear. Amen. In the time of, we go back and look at Jacob's father Isaac. And in the time of Isaac, everyone was fleeing the land because there was a famine in the land. And God's dealt specifically with him and told him, Don't leave, dwell in this land because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you. You know, I would rather stay in the land of famine with God's blessing, God being with me and God blessing me, than in the land of plenty without God's presence and blessing. Amen? So follow God's leading. Don't yield to fear. Don't follow conventional wisdom. Follow God's wisdom and follow God's leading. Amen? What happened with Isaac? Genesis 26, verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Everybody else was saying, you can't prosper there. There's famine here. We can't prosper here. We're going down to Egypt. God said, no, you stay here. And he stayed and he sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man, Isaac, began to prosper, verse 13. And he continued prospering until he became very prosperous.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know what amen means? We're all just said amen and somebody said amen. It means so be it in my life.
Amen.
So be it in my life. Amen. God wants you to begin to prosper. He wants you to continue to prosper. And he wants you to become very prosperous.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, he does. Amen. Amen. Prosperity is progressive. Amen. God doesn't have a lottery. Amen. No, prosperity is progressive. Jacob didn't start out the day he decided he was going to be a tither. That day he wasn't blessed with great abundance, but God's favor was on him. God's blessing was on him. He kept increasing and increasing and increasing. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have setbacks. It doesn't mean the devil won't attack. But if you'll stay with it, it's just like the stock market. People get upset when it drops, but a lot of people say, "Well, I'm getting out." Well, you know, again, and I'm not giving you stock advice because I know very little. But I do know this: I know that people that invested a long time ago and just stayed steady, and didn't get afraid. They're in, you know, all of them, their investments, unless they just bought one little quirky thing. But if you spread it out, your investments have increased greatly over the years. And the same is true, even more so, with God. If you'll stay steady, Amen. Even though there may be dips here and there, if you'll stay steady, he'll bring you into increase. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, now, point number three, which is our first point today. Those were the last two from last week. Point number three is this: be wise with your money. Be wise with your money. There's a story in the Old Testament involving the prophet Elijah and a widow that was in debt that we want to look at right now. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.'" What did that mean? It meant they were in debt. They were in debt. They didn't have the money to pay the debt. And so because they didn't have the money to pay the debt, the creditor, the one that they owed the debt to, he was just going to come and take her two sons, and they were going to have to work it off. They were going to have to be slaves to this guy. Yeah. We say, "Oh, that's horrible. We shouldn't have slavery today." Well, we have slavery in different ways today. People become enslaved. We can become enslaved to debt. So it limits your freedom. It limits your options of what you can or can't do. Verse 2, "So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you?'" You know, he didn't say, "Oh, well, you'll just have to get used to this. It's just the way it's going to be." Too bad. No. What can I do for you? And he says, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing but a jar of oil in the house, but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt." It was enough to pay off all their debt. "And you and your sons live on the rest." So God works an amazing miracle of provision here through the prophet Elisha and through the faith and the obedience of this woman. And this story, though, not only illustrates the fact that God can and will perform miracles of provision for us, but it also hints at some principles of managing our money. So let's go back to verse 1 and look at this in a little more depth here. Back in verse 1, we see that one of the sons of the prophets has died. Now, his wife said, "You know, your servant feared the Lord." Well, that's a good thing, to fear the Lord. But just fearing the Lord, just loving the Lord, that does not mean you'll prosper if you don't put the principles of prosperity into operation in your life. So I said, "Well, Pastor, well, I know someone, and I mean, they love the Lord. They read their Bible all the time. They prayed. They were a godly person. They served in church, and they did all this, and they weren't prosperous." Well, I don't know the answer to all that, but I do know we have to apply the Word. Just being someone who fears the Lord doesn't mean you're automatically going to prosper. We have to apply these principles. We have to walk in this plan. Amen? All right. Your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor's coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Well, first mistake here that this man made is he didn't have a term life insurance policy. Some of you are laughing, and some of you are thinking, "Are we supposed to laugh now? Can we laugh about this?" Is Pastor being serious here? Well, I'm being half serious. And the half where I'm not being serious is they didn't have that back then. You couldn't do that. The half where I'm being serious is you ought to have that. That's something wise. If you're in debt, if you've got a lot of family obligations and you've still got to get kids through school or things like that, you ought to have a term life insurance policy. That's the cheapest that you can buy for the money you get the most out of it. Amen. Now, again, you know, you go, and I'm not giving you, trying to give you, you know, detailed financial advice here, but go look it up. We do recommend Dave Ramsey's website, all the great information that he has there. You can find out a lot about that. But he didn't have any insurance. Of course, they didn't have it back then. But today, we have that available, and you ought to have some. Hallelujah. Well, I'm talking about being wise with our money. Amen. All right, so that was his first mistake. All right. And then the second thing we see here, back on the miracle side, in verse 2, Elijah says, "What shall I do for you? What do you have in the house?" See, God can tell you. She says, "Well, I don't have anything." Oh, wait a minute. There's a jar of oil. That's all I have. You know, God can take whatever you have in your hand, whatever you have in your house, and he can multiply it. Amen. That's the good news. Hallelujah. Don't limit yourself. Don't think, well, if I only had this, you know. Like that man that Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus said, "Do you want to be well?" He said, "Well, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool." And so here, you know, she said, "Well, I don't have anything." And he says, "Wait a minute. What do you have in the house?" "Oh, nothing." "Oh, wait a minute. A jar of oil." He said, "That'll do. That'll do. Whatever you've got will do if you'll give it to God. If you'll move in faith." Amen? That's the good news. Praise God. So he says, "Okay, you got a jar of oil. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors. And do not gather just a few." What is that? That is great faith and great expectation. If it would have been some of us, we would have got, okay, there's 8 ounces of that oil in there. Maybe I can believe God to double it. I'll get a 16-ounce jar. No. He said, "Get all the vessels you can from all your neighbors and don't borrow just a few." Well, she rounded up. She acted in faith. She took that word. She received it and believed it and acted in faith and obedience. And she gathered up all the vessels and they began to pour. And she started pouring out that 8 ounces or whatever it was, and she filled up a several-gallon jar, a vessel. And then it kept pouring, and she filled another one, and another one, and another one. I mean, you imagine, it was enough. She had enough oil to pay off the debt that her two sons were going to have to go be slaves for. That had to be several thousands of dollars in our currency. So from that one little jar of oil, she got several thousands of dollars worth of oil. She filled up all these vessels throughout the house. And then he says, "Go and sell the oil and pay the debt." And it wasn't just enough oil to pay the debt. But he says, "Now you and your sons live on the rest." It was enough left over for them to live on. But wait a minute. Now they're going to have to manage it. Huh? He didn't say, "And call me back if you need another miracle in 6 months." Now, I'm not saying that you've got one shot in your life at a financial miracle, and if you've shot that wad, that's it. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God does, in addition, yes, he can give us miracles. Yes, he can provide supernaturally. But the other side of it is he also expects us to be wise and to handle our money wisely. Again, the book of Proverbs is full of God's wisdom concerning handling our money. And as we said, we mentioned Dave Ramsey, and I believe God's raised him up and anointed him to help people to do that as well. So we need to learn to manage our money. We need to learn to live within our means. Some would call that a budget. We need to learn to avoid debt, and we need to learn to prepare for the future. Amen? We need to learn to live within our means. We need to learn to avoid debt, and we need to learn to prepare for the future to handle our money wisely. Amen. And then number 4, the last point this morning is this. Learn to use your faith and your spiritual authority. Learn to use your faith and your spiritual authority. Praise God. This is so important. So there's a combination of the natural and the supernatural. Pastor Kenneth Hagin Jr. always said, the natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. Hallelujah. And so these are natural and supernatural principles that we're applying here. So one of these, the principle here, learn to use your faith and learn to use your spiritual authority. And I want to share you, with you a testimony from Dad Hagen, from Brother Hagen. He pastored for 12 years. And then in the late in the 1940s, God dealt with him, late 1949, God dealt with him to resign his church and to go into full-time traveling ministry. And so he did that. He obeyed the Lord and he left his church, went out into traveling ministry. And he knew it was they were kind of struggling financially. And so after that year, he gets all of his receipts out and looks at his finances and he totals it up and he's made $1,200 less than when he was pastoring. Now, that might not sound like a lot to you, but in 1949 and 50, $1,200 was a lot. You could buy a new car in that day, in those days for just a little bit more than that. So he had made $1,200 less. In addition to that, when he was pastoring, the church provided a parsonage, a house for him to live in that he didn't have. Now he had to pay his own rent and provide his own place. In addition to that, they provided other benefits, the church did, when he was pastoring. So he's short the $1,200 plus all those other benefits, and he went to the Lord with it. And he said, I took all my statistics, and I went to the Lord and took it to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. I've done what you told me to do. And he quoted that scripture to the Lord, Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And he said, Lord, I did what you told me to do, and I'm not eating the good of the land. My children are not adequately fed or clothed. We're not, he said, we weren't living in a three-bedroom apartment. We were living in a three-room apartment. You know, they had two kids, and their son had to sleep on a rollaway bed in the kitchen. That was where he slept. They were living in a three-room apartment. And so he said, we're not eating the good of the land. And the Lord said, well, first of all, that scripture you're quoting to me, he said, you don't qualify for that. And he said, Lord, he said, I grabbed my stomach. He said, it's like the Lord. He said, Lord, you hit me a low blow. What do you mean I don't qualify? He said, that verse says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, you were obedient, all right, but you weren't willing. You didn't want to go. He said, oh, I see. Okay. He said, don't tell me it takes a long time to get willing. He said, I got willing right quick. He said, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm glad to be traveling. I'm glad to be doing. I'm willing. You know I'm willing. The devil knows I'm willing. I'm willing to eat the good one. He said, yes, that's right. Now you are. He said, now the second thing is this. He said, don't pray about money anymore. He said, at least not the way you've been praying. He said, first of all, he said, what you need to do, he said, claim whatever it is that you need or want. He said, because the money that you need is down there on the earth. He said, you're asking me to provide. He said, but I'm not going to rain money down from heaven. He said, if I did that, I'd be a counterfeiter, and I'm not a counterfeiter. The money you need's on the earth. So claim whatever you need or want. He said, and that made him stumble right there when the Lord said, claim whatever you need or want. He said, now, Lord, I can believe that you'll meet our needs, but our wants. And the Lord said, yes, did you never read in my word? 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he quoted him Psalms 34, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. He said, claim whatever you need or want. The money that you need is down there on the earth. And he said, Satan is the one who's trying to withhold. He said, I'm not withholding money from you. It's not my will that your children are not adequately clothed or fed. That's the devil doing that. So number one, claim whatever you need or want. And then number two, command Satan to take his hands off your money because he's the one who's withholding from you. And he said, well, Lord, I've never heard anything like that before. He said, well, you've got authority. I've given you authority. He said, go back to the book of beginnings. He said, I knew that meant the book of Genesis. He went back and he said, I made my man Adam and I put him in the Garden of Eden and I provided everything for him. And then he sold out to Satan and Satan became God of this world. He said, so it's Satan who is withholding from you. Command the devil to take his hands off of your money. And then he said, do this. And then say, go, ministering spirits. Go, angels of God, and cause the money to come. And he said, well, wait a minute, Lord. I don't understand this. I've never heard anything like that. He said, look in my word. Took him to the book of Hebrews, where it says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. He said, they're waiting around. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you to release your faith. They're waiting on you to give them a command. Amen. They're there to minister for you. Like a waitress or a waiter is there to minister for you at a restaurant. They're waiting for you to turn in your order. If you don't ever turn in your order, you won't get a meal, right? And so he said, the angels are waiting on you to do that. And so he explained it to him. He said, the Lord explained it like this. I'll read this passage out of the... And this is a book that he wrote about this entire revelation called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. I think we're actually out of them, but we've got them on order. And we'll have them in the bookstore. I would encourage you to get this. And he says, this is the way the Lord explained it to me. The devil, Satan himself, doesn't do all the work of the devil. He's like the captain of the host. Demons and evil spirits do his work in the earth. They influence people. They speak to people. They try to get people to steal, to commit adultery, any and everything that is wrong. Of course, the Holy Ghost influences you, Jesus told him. On the other hand, angels, who are good spirits, are also on earth. If you'll tell them to go, cause the money to come, they will go and influence people for good, just as evil spirits go and influence people for bad. So if you'll do that, the angels of God can speak to people to give you deals. They can speak to people to open up doors of opportunity for employment or contracts or jobs for you. Amen. Hallelujah. See, your angels are around and they're just sitting around saying, I wonder when that dummy's going to wake up and give us something to do. Amen. Let's not be like that. Amen. Go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. Then the Lord instructed me that after I once claimed what I needed, that was to be the end of the matter. I wasn't to pray or do anything else. If I thought about the situation, I was simply to stay in faith and say, thank God for it. It's working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Amen. That's what he told him to do. Just say, thank God for it. It's working. Hallelujah. And so he did that. He began to do that. And he said, in fear and trembling, he said that day, he was at a church and he worked it out. Back in that day, his budget was $150 a week. Keep me on the road, to keep the family's bills paid, $150 a week. He said, so I went into that church where I was having the meeting, and he said, in fear and trembling, he said, I claimed the $150. I commanded the devil to take his hands off of it. And then I said, go, ministering spirits. He said, I could just see. I closed my eyes, and I could just see that room full of the angels. And I said, go, ministering spirits. Cause the money to come. Well, he proved it out at the end, and he told the pastor, he said, now look, don't make a special pull for money. Don't take a long time taking up the offering. Just pass the plate and say, this is Brother Hagin's offering. He said, Brother Hagin, if I do that, you won't get a dime. He said, that's all right. You won't hear any complaint from me. He said, I wanted to prove this out. And so they did, took up the offering. At the end of the time he was there, he got his money plus some over. And next church he went to, same thing. And he proved it out. He proved it out that it worked. Praise God. Amen. Now, there's some scriptures that he doesn't include in this book that the Lord led me to some time ago concerning this. Psalm 35:27. I want to share it with you. Psalm 35:27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, this is something we're supposed to say continually. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Are you one of God's servants? God has pleasure in your prosperity. God has pleasure in your prosperity. Now, with that thought in mind, let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 20. It says this, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice, back to 20, I'm not through 20 yet, heeding the voice of his word, now verse 21, bless the Lord, all ye his host, you ministers of his, the angels, who what? Who do his pleasure. What do the angels do? They do God's pleasure. What is God's pleasure? Psalm 35, 27?
His word.
No, it is his word. But look, 35, 27, God has pleasure in what?
Prosperity.
The prosperity of his servant. Back to 103, 21 now. The angels do his pleasure. Do you see it?
Amen.
Do you see the connection?
Yes.
God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, and the angels are sent to do that. They're sent to bring that about. They're sent to bring about the prosperity of his servants. So it ties right in with that revelation that the Lord gave to Dad Hagin. Say to the angels, go ministering spirits, cause the money to come. Do you do that?
Yes. Yes.
Few of you are saying yes. Say, well, no, I never heard about that before. Well, you're hearing it today. What are you going to do about it? I'd heard about this. I probably read that book many years ago. But, you know, it wasn't until a few years ago I thought, you know, I really need to do this for the church. We were struggling to stay above water. Our bookkeeper would write the checks and, to pay the bills, to pay the light bill and the gas bill and the insurance. You know, we have to maintain insurance on this building and on our property and on our church van and all of that. And it's not cheap. And, we shop around. I believe we've got, we're getting a good rate and everything, but it's expensive. Liability insurance as well, that's expensive. And a lot of things you may not think about, but I remember we would have to just hold back. Well, and I'd tell the secretary, well, you can mail this one out, and you can mail this one out, but, these seven or eight here, we're just going to have to wait and believe God and hope the money, pray and believe the money to come in, And so one day I thought, wait a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that we corrected was we had got away from, as a church, as tithing. Because, and I said, well, the first thing we're going to do is the church is going to start tithing. And I instructed our bookkeeper, whenever the offering comes in on Sunday, all right, 10%, the first 10% of that, whatever that is, we're putting that in our missions and benevolence account. And that's how we give to other ministries and support ministries. And part of our benevolence later, we added Operation Aid as for benevolence as well. But we set aside the first 10%. And then I said, I'm going to start doing what Brother Hagin, the revelation that the Lord gave him. And so every week I say, now, Lord, in light of the revelation that you gave to Dad Hagin, I'm claiming, and I claim the amount that we need in the church for that week. I claim that money. And I say, Satan, you take your hands off the money that belongs in City on a Hill Church. And then I say, go ministering spirits. Go angels of God. Cause the money to come. And you know what comes in? It comes in. Now, I can't say that every week it comes in that exact amount. But we'll have weeks where we hit it and then maybe go low for a couple of weeks and then hit it again. And then all of a sudden we'll have an offering that's way above, way over and above. And so when you average it out at the end of the year, it's all come in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is faithful. Now, that doesn't just work for a traveling minister. It doesn't just work for a church. It'll work for anybody that will work it. It will work for you in your household, in your family, in your personal finances. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to close this up by giving you some promises. I call these promises of provision and plenty. And I would encourage you to write these scriptures down. If you want your financial situation to improve, then I would encourage you to write these scriptures down. And I would encourage you to meditate on them, to read them every day, to speak them every day, and start believing them. Amen? Promises of provision and plenty. I'm just going to give you 10. There's so many in the Bible. So many throughout the Scripture. God wants us to prosper. Amen? Deuteronomy 8:18. Here's the first one. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Who gives us power to get wealth? God does. Amen. It is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God gives us power to get wealth. God empowers us to prosper. That doesn't mean necessarily He's going to, you know, put a check in your mailbox every week, but He empowers you to get wealth. He gives you favor. He gives you divinely inspired ideas. He causes what you set your hand to prosper. Hallelujah. The second one is this, Psalm 23 and verse 1. Linda's so tech savvy, what she's doing is she's taking a picture of all these scriptures and putting them on her phone. So she's got them that way. That's smart. I like that. Psalm 20, you better be doing that, not texting. So, I know that's what she's doing. Praise God. Psalm 23, verse 1. If she was texting, she'd have it hid in her lap. So. All right. She's got it up there, so I know that's what she's doing. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. See, the Lord will meet your not only provide for your needs, but your wants also. Amen. Hallelujah. I preached a message. I need to pull it back out and preach it again. Needs, wants, and desires. God will do all three. God will meet all three. He'll meet your needs. He'll give you your wants, and He'll bless you with your desires. Hallelujah. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. How much want is there?
None.
There's no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Psalm 37, 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I've gone throughout my whole life, the psalmist is saying here, David is saying here, he said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. God is faithful to provide. God is faithful to meet our needs. Hallelujah. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. What's going to happen with that man? Verse 3 tells us, wealth and riches will be in his house. The one who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in His commandments. Is that you?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it can be. Praise God, it's up to you to decide that, if it will be. Proverbs 13, verse 22, a good man. I believe y'all are good men and good women. A good man, a good person, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You got to have some money to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's. I have five children and five grandchildren already, with the potential of many, many more. And I plan on leaving an inheritance to my children and my grandchildren.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And that's a whole other wonderful truth and point there. Amen. That I believe we're going to see. The wealth of the sinner stored up for the righteous. Praise God. Now that's a whole other message. Matthew 6, verse 31. Jesus speaking, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Have you ever let worry come against you when you go to the grocery store and you're wondering if you've got enough to pay for what you need? Jesus said, don't worry. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God's not oblivious to your material needs. He's not up in heaven saying, oh, well, I'm not concerned about that. You should be more spiritually minded. No. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Well, what are we supposed to do then? Verse 33, Jesus tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Food, clothing, all these things that He mentions right here. All these things shall be added to you. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply, how much? All your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. We read it earlier, but we'll read it again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Did Jesus fail in His assignment? Did Jesus fail when He went to the cross? Did Jesus fail to do all that the Father had appointed for Him to do in redemption? Did He fail? Did He fall short in anything, in any area? Oh, well, yeah, I know He died to save me from my sin, but I don't know about... No, He did it all. He didn't fail. He didn't fail in one thing. He became poor that we might be made rich. And if we'll get on His plan, and if we'll believe it, then we will be. We'll have a full supply. We'll have abundant provision. Amen? Glory to God. All right, last one. 2 Corinthians 9:8, which we read earlier, but we're going to read it out of the Amplified Bible this time. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. He's able to make all grace. What is that grace? Every favor and earthly blessing. He's able to make it come to you in abundance so that you can always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Who in here will claim that verse as their own today? Who in here will claim that promise as their own today? If we'll get a hold of these, I'm telling you, that's enough. Right, I've given you enough right there in just these 10 scriptures. Amen. To cause your faith to rise up. Amen. God has a plan to prosper you, to prosper us. If we'll follow that plan, we will prosper. And I forgot to call Reed up 15 minutes ago. Reed, hurry on up here if you would as we close this service. I just got so involved in the scriptures today. Let's just raise our hands and thank God for His word right now. Father, we just thank You. Lord, we receive Your word today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. And Lord, we thank You that Your word will work. Lord, it's not just knowing these things. Lord, we know it's doing them. We know it's believing them, releasing our faith in Your promise and actively doing Your word, Father, as we've studied it today, as we've laid it out today. So, Father, we thank You for that in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person in here right now. I pray, Father, over every person's finances right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Father, that You are faithful. I thank You, Father, that You're faithful to Your word. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that every person in here, Lord, that each of us would be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray for each one of us. See, I can't just pray for you. Okay, Pastor prayed a blessing over me and that's it. It won't work that way. But I'm praying that that the Holy Spirit will stir you up to take hold of the Word of God and to act on it. And so, Father, I do pray that. I pray that you would stir us up. I thank you the Holy Spirit is our helper. And I thank you that he will help us to act on your Word in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you that you give us wisdom concerning our finances. I thank you, Father, that you give us wisdom on how to manage our money. I thank you that you lead us to good deals and lead us to right situations, and you lead us away from wrong situations. Father, I know there are many here that are in need of that wisdom and that guidance. I pray for that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would grant that to every heart that is open to you, every heart that is open to your leading, every heart that is saying, Lord, lead me, Lord, guide me, Lord, help me with my finances. I thank you that you do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Praise you.